Good morning. I'm very impressed with Calvin and Rainbow's testimony. Let's pray that the Lord will continue to use them and then to bless the ministry over there. Let's bow for a word of prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have indeed sent your servant. We ask that you be with us this morning. Speak to us through Moses' testimony, through your call to Moses to the missions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think is the most important thing when a person responds to God's call or to a mission? Okay. Well, I'll give you the answer at the end of the sermon. Okay. But then the thing is, like, there are many reasons for people responding. I think Calvin responds to a call, a literal call. Okay, very few people. This is the first time I ever heard a testimony that like a literal call becomes a real call. I think there are many different reasons, but I think Moses has a very special reason, which I think can serve as a paradigm for all of us to be what is the most important thing. There are two points I want to share with you in this short passage. First is bearing the mission identification of mission from God. Is that not important? Well, mission has to come from God, right? And bearer, the servant is to carry on, is to implement the mission. And then the second part is very interesting. See, when God called Moses, what do you mean? What do you think is the meaning of who am I? Did you ever respond to God saying that, who am I? Does Moses want to go? No. Who am I to confront Pharaoh? No, not at all. Okay, who I am, or who am I? You know, okay. Let's start with the verse 7, with the passage. Okay. Then the Lord said, we have just read this. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmaster. I know their suffering. Okay. There are a few highlights in Hebrew in this passage. The first is, I have surely seen. Why? The translator as surely. In the Hebrew, it is infinitive absolute. It's actually a repetition of two verbs. Literally, to see, I have seen. Anything in Hebrew that is repeated means what? Emphatic. I have surely seen. That's what it is. So this is the first highlight. Okay. So this is like a divine perception, I call it. Okay. And then, okay, seen the affliction, and I have heard the cry. The second emphasis in this verse is, like in Hebrew, that's a word order. It's verb subject object. Okay, object is supposed to be the last thing in the sentence. But here, when an object is fronted, that means emphasis. So in Hebrew, it says, their cry, I have heard. Okay, so the second emphasis is to highlight the cry. So, divine passion. God is very, very passionate with his people. And then we see that I know their sufferings. Suffering means physical and mental. So God is all out feeling the pain of his people. What is so special about this verse? There are only two verses in the entire scripture with God as the subject, with three perception verbs altogether. We have never seen this in scripture. Okay, if the Lord has seen, it's already more than enough, right? And if the Lord has seen and also heard, it is double down. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just heard, seen, and know. So this is, I call, this is the perception trio by God. Only happened in two verses. Okay, so this is highly emphatic. Okay, what is the other passage that has this trio? Surprise, It's about the same thing. So in the entire Hebrew scripture, there's only one thing that God is so passionate about. Okay, well, Exodus 2:23 is the closing remark of chapter 2, where Moses hit the Egyptian, killed him, remember, and then fled. It says, during those days, those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry, okay, we are seeing the same thing, for rescue from slavery came up to God. 24, and God heard their groaning. It's not just cry, they're groaning. And God remember. Actually, this is quadro. It's not just trio. Four things, okay? God remember his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 25, God saw the people Israel, and God knew. All three verbs, plus one, plus remember. So this is highly emphatic. So what does this mean? This is a conclusion to the Moses-Jethro episode. Remember, Moses married his wife? Now, so this actually creates an inclusio. See, because this is, actually, last time I was here to share with you 1-6, some of you here who remember God's call to Moses, right? So actually, God's call to Moses is the chiastic center of this ABA structure. So which means that God's call to Moses is the center of God's compassion to his people. So what does that mean? That means the call to Moses was God's solution to, or God's answer to his people's cry. So this is actually giving us another perspective. So this is like a not just passion, it's also God also remember the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. Well, meditate a little bit on this. Did Moses know about the affliction of God's people in Egypt? None knew more than Moses. Had he not felt the affliction of God's people, he would not have killed the Egyptian, right? You understand what I'm saying? Now, the question is, after 40 years, has his passion gone? Or was it still there? That's the thing we need to think about. Well, he's too scared. Okay, well, he was a fugitive. He was in a secure place, raised his family. Okay, the question is, will Moses go back out and serve God again? Now, here it is at this point that God called Moses. Very important. Okay, because of their taskmaster, literally, before the one who pressed him. Okay, taskmaster is not taskmaster. Before the oppressor. What do you think? Imagine you were Moses. Would it not stir up all emotions? 40 years ago. It's exactly what Moses was seeing, the suffering of the Egyptians. Okay, that he thought God raised him up to save the Israelites. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Okay, so this word means beat, exact, drive, force, press, and actually it's used for a debtor asking for payment. This is what happened to the Israelites. Okay, suffering. Okay, actually this word suffering is the exact same word. If you know Isaiah 53, Jesus, okay, the suffering servant, carry our sorrows. This word suffering can be translated to sorrows. So Moses actually felt the sorrow of his people. Okay, chapter 2, verse 11. Okay, let's recall this passage. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian. Look on and saw. In Hebrew, I intentionally printed the Hebrew for you, the red words are identical. It's just translation. They don't want to use the same word. This is exactly the same word God used for see. I've seen the affliction. So actually, Moses had already seen it 40 years ago. Okay, now God is telling Moses that, okay, God had also seen it. Okay, and then this burden. Okay, I've seen the burdens mean physical labor, hard physical labor. So now we may get a little bit of understanding of what Moses could have been feeling. Okay, when God called him. Okay, let's move to verse 8. Okay, and then verse 8, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place that the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hittites, and Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Actually, verse 7 to 9 is another chiastic structure. Because we are seeing, if you look at verse 9, has come to me means God has heard, but it's not using the same word, and also seen. So this is a divine perception dual. Okay, so which means we have a quadrille, trio, and now a duo. That just means that we need to read all these verses together as one pack. And then here in verse 9, we see that oppress is repeated. Anything in Hebrew scripture repeated means, repetition means what? Emphasis. Highly emphatic that, okay, what God has seen. Okay, now let's look at the structure. Then we get an overall structure. Okay, so how are we to read these verses? So first is 23 to 25, chapter 2. Okay, first divine perception quadro, and then Moses' call is the B, and then the second divine perception trio, and then God's mission for Moses. See, which means that God's mission to Moses is actually Moses' call. It's God's call to Moses. So these two passages has to be read together. Okay, so this is how we are going to read this passage together. So actually the focus of this passage I'm sharing with you today, the focus is God's mission for Moses, okay, which is chapter 8. Now, if you look at the passage, it says, I have come down. I don't understand this. See, if God were to commission Moses, he doesn't have to come down. He just say, Moses, go do it. If you're the boss, you know, you send somebody. I mean, coming down is highly significant. But the thing is, in Hebrew, it says that two prepositions, two infinitive, means the Hebrew structure means that two purpose for God coming down. The first is to deliver, and the second is to bring up or to bring out. So God is coming down. Now, the thing is, deliver is a very special word. I will explain it a little bit more later. Okay, it could be in different stem. Okay, so this is in Hifil. Okay, deliver, the original meaning, you know, mean what? To draw out. To draw out. To draw out means what? What is to deliver? Like, let's say if you see something is burning, you pull it out. Something is drowning, you put it out. That's the sense of deliverer in this Hebrew verb. Okay, so I think it means to pull out. So God is sending Moses to pull out his people from Egypt, from slavery. Oh, so this is the way how God is to resolve the affliction problem, to stop the unjust oppression. Now, the thing is, to bring up is a different thing. To bring up, okay, means, so this is a very cumbersome translation, to bring up out from Egypt. So I don't know if this is good English. My English is not good enough to comment on that. But the thing is, this is because of the Hebrew. Okay, see, to bring up is this verb is not Hebrew, it's cause to go. Okay, cause to go means to bring. Okay, and then this is also this preposition, from out from. Okay, so to bring up out from. So actually, that just means to bring out. But the thing is, God has another purpose, also to bring in. Right? Did Moses bring the people in? No. He failed. He failed to bring the people in, but that would be another message. Okay, now the thing is, this, to me, the parallel of verse 7 and 9 is actually is a forward to God's official commission to Moses. Okay, later on. Okay, before God actually called Moses, okay, to go before Pharaoh. Okay, now the thing is, why God put verses 7 to 9 before actually calling Moses? I think there's only one answer to this. Moses has to share the passion of God before going on to mission. If you have no passion, okay, no compassion, this missions field is not the place for you to go. So God shared the divine perception, the divine passion, not until Moses pick up this divine passion. Moses would not have gone. Now, but the thing is, I'm contradicting the scripture. If Moses was so compassionate, why would he say, "Who am I?" Right? So we need to further read this. Now, actually, there are two. My first question is, what are the most important elements for a mission? The first element is a vision, which is equated to passion sharing. Okay, so we say we go there with a mission. Mission is about what? It's sharing the passion, sharing the need, seeing the need of the people. And that's the divine purpose. Divine purpose for Moses is for Moses to see the need of the people, and that's what a lifelong commitment is all about. Not until you deeply share this passion, you'll quit. Because it's no easy job. In the mission service, it's so difficult. Okay? So many obstacles you have to overcome. Okay? The only thing that can bear you through this process, okay, the only thing that makes you willing to sacrifice is the passion God had laid in your heart. And that's what all mission is about. Only most important thing. See, the thing is, Moses' answer, we'll do that later. Who am I? I'm inadequate. I'm not good enough. All wrong. Or I'm too old. They're better people than me. If you think that way, you never go, right? The second point is divine commitment. Because you think you're the one accomplishing the work. No. I have come down. God is in action. Okay, you and the servant, remember last time I shared with you, Moses, servant is the most important thing. You're just seeing the role. Okay, so which means that deliverance is by what? By God, not by his servant. Okay, so that's why, okay, see, I have come down to deliver, okay, and to bring out. Okay, and then God is the subject of his own mission. Don't get that wrong. And then to come down, that's another important thing, is divine presence. Why do God have to come down? To be with Moses. This is actually answer Moses' question, saying that if you're not going, don't send us. Remember Exodus 33. Okay, so that's God already answered Moses ahead of time. Okay, the third, okay, which I already mentioned, we are only God's servant, okay, agent. So don't use your own effort to accomplish God's business. Okay, verse 10. And then, come, I will send you to Pharaoh. This is the official commission. I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Have you noticed that? Why did God use "you bring my people out"? Why not deliver? I think this is intentional, very important. I have studied the word deliver. The subject is always not man. Man never delivered. Don't get that wrong. So Moses, so to bring out is to be God's agent. God's agent, doing God's work. Moses is all but a servant. A divine send means what? Messenger. Okay? It's only the messenger where this shalach, this word is used as a representative of Yahweh to confront Pharaoh. So God has it all planned out for Moses. Okay? So if Moses were to think that he is to deliver, Moses has got it all wrong. Okay? So bring out is actually a subset of deliver, because deliver had two words, bring out and bring in. Okay? Moses only did half of it. Okay? So let's make a little conclusion. Key elements for divine mission. First, divine commission. Divine passion is commitment, our willingness to sacrifice. Second, realize that man is only an agent. Third, you must know clearly what work God has commissioned you to do. You need what you need to know what you need to do. Okay, second point, who am I? Okay, see, this is like Moses' great hesitation. Okay, and then verse 11, but Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out, the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Notice that Moses used the exact same word to bring out as God. So that's why I never used the deliver. Okay, so that means there was no misunderstanding on Moses' part what God would like Moses to do. But here, this is the irony. Like Moses was saying that to bring the children of Israel out. Do you think it's easier to bring the children of Israel out or to bring them in? Everybody would think that to confront Pharaoh is more difficult. But end up, which is more difficult? To bring them in is way more challenging. This is ironic, highly ironic. See, Moses would have thought that, okay, if like, had he brought the Israel out, he's almost done. Okay? See, the thing is, our application is, like, so most pastor left the church, okay? It's because of the internal problem, okay? I'm not saying church people are rebellious Israelites to the pastor. But the thing is, like, internal struggle, like, people challenges within the church are often more challenging than the outside situations. That is food for thought, isn't it? Okay? External pressure is easier. The second irony is, Moses responded to God's call. 40 years ago, Moses was thought that I'm all ready to go. But after 40 years, he's not ready. But the irony is, when he's not ready, God thought he is ready. You understand what I'm saying? Now, are you ready? See, when you think you're not ready, maybe you are. So this is God's timing, God's timing. So this is highly ironic. See, the thing is, we thought we are ready, but we may be not. Okay, the last thing we need to answer is, who am I, an excuse, or is this a genuine thing? You understand what I'm saying? Then we need to understand what is the meaning of who am I. I searched the entire scripture. There are only three incidents where a biblical character say, who am I? Okay? The first incident is when David was offered Saul's daughter. Okay? He said, who am I? Who are my relatives, my father's kind of Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? So that means what? Inadequate. Question. Did David want to marry Saul's daughter? Yes, definitely. Okay, second example. Solomon seeking help from Hiram to build the temple. Okay. Like Solomon, but who is able to build him a house alone? Who am I to build a house for him? Okay, also inadequate. okay, not qualified. Does he want to do it? Sure, he wants to do it. Third example, God offered David an everlasting kingdom. And then David said, who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you have brought me thus far? Did David want it? Yeah. So what does it mean? When Moses said, who am I? Moses wants to do it. But he really thinks that he's inadequate. This is Moses. Actually, this is not just Moses' situation. This is the situation of many of us. We have the passion. We want to do God's work. We want to have a mission. But then we really think that we are inadequate. Okay? God's solution for Moses. Okay? Verse 12. How God answered Moses, okay, would be the answer to your inadequacy. He said, but I will be with you. It's nothing about your ability. It's all about divine presence. It's not about your effort. And this shall be the sign for you, okay, that I have sent you. God will give you sign, affirmation. Okay, when you get the affirmation, go. Okay, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you should serve God on this mountain. At the end of the day, Moses brought Israel to Sinai. Verse 14. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. Very significant. See, it is asking who am I? You ask the wrong question. You should ask who sent me. You understand what I'm saying? Not the servant. The sender is the key. See, not until you realize that all inadequacy will be gone. So to conclude, okay, a few key features for mission and commission. First, ask if you have the divine presence to accomplish the call that God had in your life. I believe that every believer, God has a call. Not to go into mission field, okay, but to serve Him faithfully in the church. You know this 80-20% rule? 80% of the people just come and enjoy the service. Only 20% of the people doing God's work. That's not right. Okay, so divine presence to accomplish. And then second, know your status. Know that you're God's servant. Okay. And then remember who commissioned you. It's God. Okay, God gives you this burden to serve Him. And then, lastly and most importantly, whether you have the passion, whether you share God's passion. See, God opened our hearts and then let us feel the passion. You're feeling God's feeling in a particular ministry. That is the time when you go. When you're willing to sacrifice, when you're willing to commit the rest of your life, okay, to serve God faithfully, okay, in His will. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your most precious word. We thank You that we can learn from Moses what is the most important thing in Your commission, in our mission in life, and in our service to You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.